solid waste, there was some technical working group meetings. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes. City of Blythe, Cathedral City, City of Coachella,
present.
City of Desert Hot Springs, City of Indian Wells, City of Indio,
here.
La Quinta,
present.
Palm Desert.
Oh, here.
City of Palm Springs. I did get a confirmation from
Gary
Hilton. Yes, so he might be coming in late. Rancho Mirage.
Here.
Riverside County Waste Management Department.
Here.
We do have a quorum. Yay. Six.
Would you like to make some pledge of allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number four, public comment. This is the time of day for any person wishing to address the recycling technical working group on items not appearing on the agenda. Is there anyone who'd like to speak under public comment? Okay, item number five, committee member director comments.
We just changed for Riverside County Department of Waste Resources, we just changed our website platform. So if you link to any of our flyers, they're going to come up with an error 404, so you need to go in and relink them. And there has been some issues with the platform. We're still working on it. So if you have any issues after trying to relink them, please let me know. And I'll try to work through our RCIT people to get them fixed. But all of the flyers, they weren't how with the new platform it wasn't linked right. We also have two new recycling specialists on staff, James Rowland and Cameron. I just met him this morning because he just started last week. So they may be coming in and out of the meeting, or you may receive an email from them on certain subjects as we divvy up the workload.
Great, thank you. If we have a couple of those links, I'll definitely update. Does anyone else, any other committee member comments?
Just a question. I noticed that's not on the agenda, so do we have an update on the tire? How are our tire events going?
I could have Kevin Sells come and give an update presentation on that, or if you want me to put it as an item, I could do that too. But yeah, we've been running our tire program. We've done six events so far, and we're ramping up for our next six now that the summer season has cooled off and we're getting ready.
Yeah, if we could put it on maybe the next agenda.
Okay. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. I'd like
a little table to show your progress.
Yeah, it would be nice if we could have a year over. I mean, that would be interesting to see if we've been
what events and how many. Yeah, I can do that.
But I mean, from one year to the next, too, like, have we been
improving or decreasing? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. The City of Indio did get one of the household hazardous waste grants, so we will be doing a collection events for that. Probably beginning next year. And that's all that I have. Anyone else?
At Ranch Mirage, since the last time we met, we had one shredding event, and we have another one scheduled at the end of this month, and then one scheduled for January as well. So, there's a difference.
I have something else. Do you have?
Sure. We had a community cleanup actually this last weekend. It was a pretty decent turnout. We had probably around 50 to 60 cars. I haven't touched base yet with the tonnage, but we did accept tires, bulky items, green waste, and electronic waste. And then we're partnering with the county for our HHW event, and then we also do a shred event at that event, and that's November 19th, I believe it is. So that's all we'll have for the year.
Okay.
Is that a city cleanup? Is that something that your city does, or do you work with the county off of their grant?
No,
or
we just do it through the city.
You just do it through the city? Okay. I was just curious.
Palm Desert, who was this last weekend? Yeah, well, it's late now, but last Saturday, we had a household hazardous waste collection event. And on November 5th, Saturday, November 5th, we have a used oil and filter recycling event going on. And that will be held at Napa.
Okay. So,
and we have a shredding event on Saturday, November 19th. From 7:30 to 11:30 or something.
Forgive me, I don't have many updates. I've just been on the job a few weeks, so still telling me plenty of information.
Welcome aboard.
Okay, item number 6, the consent calendar. Sure, sorry.
So that's okay. I know in the past that I've brought it up before that we've had trouble getting enough participation to get a quorum. Is there a better time or date that would work better for the group? Or maybe combining it with another meeting? I'd like to get your guys' input so that we can get better turnout.
Combining it with what other?
I don't know, sustainability? If we can... I know that a lot of times it doesn't mesh with what other programs or departments are working on, but even if we combine them just for half the meeting to get the quorum to take care of business, and then I guess some of the people can leave if it's...
Well, I'm wondering, I don't see a problem with it. I just wonder if that'd be pretty difficult unless you just tie it into like energy or environmental. I mean,
we could rename...
Right.
I mean, if we have to try to get more people...
Well, do you guys have a sustainability? Or I know you have an environment.
Have
do you have... Is it environment? Or
we have the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee, which is an elected officials committee. And we used to have a energy and water sort of a similar group to this, but they actually set that aside. But I guess the thought was... Could we combine some of the other sustainability initiatives if that would be a benefit to all of you in terms of participation? And
what's out there? I mean, like,
yeah.
Sustainability, a lot of it's either recycling or solid waste, or then it falls under
greenhouse gas emissions,
energy and
energy
stuff
and
like that. So I want maybe this should fall under energy and environment. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You could call it environmental if you wanted to. So I don't have a preference. I don't know what anyone else
is doing. What about dates? Is it still work to have? I mean, we're only doing quarterly meetings, and I think we've only met once this year.
Well, I was thinking if you combine it with the E&E, then it's whatever their calendar is. We wouldn't technically exist anymore.
Well,
we
wouldn't combine it with the Energy and Environment Committee because that's a, that's a formal recommending committee to
right.
the, and it's all the electeds.
Mm-hmm.
But we could kind of expand the solid waste, this technical working group to cover, more broad sustainability issues. If that was, and then maybe one meeting we'd have a topic that focused on recycling. I mean, as it is, as you said, there's a certain amount of overlap. The other group that we have that some of you participate in, Sarah participates in, is the Energy Partnership. So we have a working group for energy. And then, reality is that's, in a lot of cities, that's actually a different staff person. So that's, I think we're just looking at ways to make this a more beneficial
right.
to you all, and maybe if there were a different time for meeting purposes that would work better for everybody to attend.
I'm fine either way. I don't really have a preference. I'm just wondering what kind of things do you see out there, like what's out there right now that you could think of that we would take on?
Right.
Like, do you see anything that's...
Part of what's happening with the AB 1826 is the composting and the food waste is covered under the greenhouse gases. So in some ways they're kind of combining
mm-hmm.
in the rain.
Well, I would think we would take that on anyway. That would be something we would address because that's all waste and recycling, a lot of it.
Right, that's ours, but it's going to start tapping into greenhouse gas emissions mm-hmm. and things like that, which is, has traditionally been taken on by the other groups. So it may, it does overlap, mm-hmm. and it's kind of broadening into each other, sort of.
Good. But then we don't want to step with the E&E. Think that that's something that they should address? I mean,
well, the E&E already, I mean, if we're working on some kind of an energy project, then the, at the staff level, that goes to the what we call the Desert Cities Energy Partnership Working Group. That's staff who handle energy issues. And you know, it kind of depends on what they're dealing with. We always pass, or we try to bring recommendations from this group to the E&E on solid waste and recycling issues.
Yeah.
But we could, I mean, it could, you know, from our perspective, probably best to do that as informally as possible. In terms of, if we set up another committee, it sort of becomes a process that...
I do think that the committee needs to evolve because, you know, we pretty much have almost every program
right.
Covered under most of the jurisdictions. So I mean, at this point in time, unless something new comes up, new legislation, that's really all we have to address. Is there a real need for us anymore?
Well, and, you know, this group started back... way back in like AB 939 days almost, maybe not that long ago, but nevertheless, there was obviously a focus on solid waste and recycling. Well, now, as you guys have said, that's kind of evolved into the larger sustainability issue, and there's a lot of overlap among things, whether you're talking about water or energy or solid waste and recycling, all of those things kind of mesh together. So maybe that would be a way we could, you know, I guess we could rotate. Obviously, where there are certain programs that this group looks at with tire recycling, used oil recycling, and so on, that we could just feature those, but at different times have other topics that may relate to other sustainability issues.
I don't want to do all the talking, but I'm glad we all know. I just don't want it to become an issue. It has to be something, in my mind, has to be something consistent that we either address or don't, because then you're going to get into issues
right.
on staff level. Okay, should I take this to them, or shouldn't I take this? And then they
right.
start stepping on their toes. I would like to really try to avoid that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we're going to be responsible for is our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So however you guys work that out with the other groups, or if you find things that are just not being addressed right now that would fall under us, I think that would be fine. I just don't really want to get into a situation where we put you, staff, in a place where you have to start making judgment calls on who is supposed to go to,
mm-hmm.
and then there's an issue. Or if something does come to us and we make a decision, and then someone's thinking, well, that's our jurisdiction. Why are they looking at it and making a recommendation or taking action on it?
Yeah.
That would be my only concern, kind of stuff.
And we probably... except for the Energy Partnership Working Group, which doesn't really function as quite the same way in terms of making recommendations. It's more trading information and that sort of thing. We probably don't have the staff function for the other environmental issues. So I think we're just looking for input and feedback from you guys on what would make this more... if there's things that would make it more beneficial to you in terms of the presentations and the information that we cover... you know, besides obviously your oversight on some of the programs. And then the other question that Ben was checking on is the meeting time. And if this is good and we just stick with it or make it an hour.
Sure.
That works
for me. All right. Well, keep it as is then.
Well, was there
just keep kind of to prod for participation every meeting.
Was a question, wasn't there, Ben, about, was it Deanna Cathedral City that had a conflict on this particular Monday or every Monday?
On every, she has a different committee that she has to report to that she was trying to get out of that she couldn't.
But is it the second Monday or?
From
I don't
her
remember
email,
now.
It sounded like it was.
I don't remember.
I mean, I guess that would be a possibility to.
I mean, I'm open to change. I mean, it works for me, but that doesn't mean I'm not open to...
Apparently Cathedral City couldn't make it on this... Which, is this the second or the third Monday?
Third.
So, this is the third Monday. Because of another... I mean, and so we don't have Cathedral City for... Haven't had anybody from Cathedral City.
It could be Monday morning, though. But.
We could potentially move it to the second Monday or the fourth Monday or something like that, I guess. I mean, we'd send out a poll to get people's feedback on that.
Yeah. If we're only meeting quarterly, I mean, so long as we know in advance, usually,
right.
It's not a problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, anything else? All right, let's move on to item number 6, the consent calendar.
Move to approve.
So, what do you think? Perfect. October 19th and April 11th?
Yes. Do we have a second?
Yeah, second. Okay. Right, second. Vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Okay. Item number 7. Nomination of Chair and Vice Chair, Ben?
So, as you know, Sarah has been our Vice Chair for probably almost a year. Michelle Messian was our President, and she's no longer with Palm Springs, so that means she's no longer the President. We're way behind on her nominations. The last two meetings, we weren't able to get a quorum, so we would like to take nominations for a Chair and Vice Chair.
I nominate Sarah for Chair.
No,
you have to do it this time.
No, thank you.
I've done mine. Who else do we have?
So we have a nomination for
yes.
Sarah for Chair.
Well, should we set up the new guy?
I did it first.
Are you open? Are you
it's kind of going to go between, I'm not sure if Gil or I, we're kind of debating who's going to be participating. He sent me today, he's in training. So I would have to chat with Gil to see if he's determined. He's usually attended.
So when we when we nominate a specific,
well, there, you have
a specific person?
You have a motion on the floor you need to see.
For
a second.
Chair, for not the vice.
Oh, I thought you said Randy for vice chair.
Well, I did. But he's like...
Oh, he did not. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I thought you were
come
just
on, Randy. Just vice chair. Sarah's going to be...
You can always nominate someone who's not here.
So would we nominate, like, not a specific person, but say they nominate La Quinta as the vice chair until they establish...
Can the count, is the county interested?
I'll be
vice chair?
I'll be the sacrificial one.
I'm sorry, you're
actually very minimal work.
Catholic, okay. So you're just fish in the room. So I nominate Kathy as the vice chair then.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Do we have to?
We have next year.
A second.
Second.
All right. So now we have our new chair and vice chair.
Did we get a second for the vice chair?
No,
who seconded the motion?
I'm sorry. We get an official second or?
I'll second.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, 7B, Youth Oil Program Update. April Delario, HNF Consultant.
That's your name. How can we set up the projector?
It should be on.
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, I think it's probably on.
Probably on sleep.
This one's warm enough, too.
I
Good afternoon. My name is April Vario, and this is Haley Kunert. We're from HF Manage Consultants, and we manage the used oil grant program for CBEC. Haley's going to go over the beginning of the presentation. I'll go over upcoming ideas for next year.
So these were the oil change kits that we gave away this year with your drainer container, your funnel, your shop towel, your filter bag, and your oil change stickers. So this year we also included a new way to outreach with starting an email list, and we had over 100 residents sign up for it to be told just about the used oil events.
And for the people that are new here, we host 7 used oil events each year. And we have it at 6 different cities: Coachella, Palm Springs, Desert Hot Springs,
Cathedral City, La Quinta,
and Blake. Okay.
So we also did some Time Warner cable commercials, which ran for 2 weeks and over 133 times, and in multiple different languages and over multiple channels. Then we continue doing the community event calendars and using the radio stations to advertise, and the radio stations seem to always get lots of people to come.
Do you have statistics on, or numbers on, the success of the different media?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
So we also sent some flyers to the Lucas Oil Speedway and College of the Desert, and we did have some students from the college come out to the event. We got to put an article in the Desert Sun, which showcased the 3D drawing contest winners. Then we also used CVAG and city Facebook pages, and also went on neighborhood and like community outreach pages. Blythe seemed to be the most successful on the Blythe Neighborhood Watch and community page. We continued our partnerships with local school districts and also the radio stations and auto parts stores. Here's another picture of the winners of the drawing contest, and the first place winner received a bicycle from Kuna and was also recognized at one of the meetings. And thank you to Cathedral City for donating the backpacks and lunchboxes again. It's also becoming a group event. Lots of families are coming out, bringing their kids and stuff to get the drain. Like, they'll come up and grab the drainer containers and look all happy, even though...
Yeah, they're all learning about these owners.
Yeah. More awareness for the younger generation. And the results. So this year we collected 1,280 filters at the events. And this is the 5th consecutive year we've gotten over 1,000 filters at just the events. But the better news is during the year, we also track the number of filters recycled at the same stores, and we've seen a great increase of the numbers since beginning tracking in 2008. So as you can see, the numbers have jumped, which means that oil filters are people are becoming more aware about what to do with their oil filters. So more people are saying that this is not the first event they've attended, and so they're looking forward to the events in upcoming years. Here's the event publicity. The radio station continues to be the most popular form of how they hear about it. Then also the store passing out the flyers. Then also we had a little boost in the residents who saw the events happening, went home, got their filters, and came back. And also the direct billing from Coachella to their residents was also another good one this year. Then also we asked, did you know that oil filters are recyclable? And there's been an increase in the amount of yes answers, which means there's an increase in oil filter recycling awareness. Do you always recycle your oil? Again, a lot of people know that that is what they are supposed to do, luckily. And then here's just some of the demographics of the participants in our little survey at each event, and we did have a slight increase in the total number of event participants up to 653 this year.
How many compared to what? Do we know?
652 last year.
So this is our proposed budget for next year.
tend to spend approximately $77,000 a year, so we've continued to propose this amount. And with this budget, we expect to have about $95,000 left for next year. So here's the numbers. This year, CalRecycle approved a 3-year spending plan where they plan to reduce the oil payment program funding by approximately 48% starting fiscal year 2018-19, which means every year, CBAG usually gets about $74,000, but in fiscal year 2018-19, they'll receive about $38,000. So CBAG will need to restructure the oil payment program. Some ideas we have are, instead of hosting 7 events per year, maybe host half of that and rotate the cities, the city events. Ideas for next year. We saw people in Sunday clothing come to the events with their oil and their filters, so we would like to accommodate the church attendees and have the Sunday times a little bit later so they'll have time to come from church to the use all of it. So we propose instead of 9 a.m. to noon, we'll have it from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
I would say 8 to 12, so we're going to do 9 to 1. Okay. Just one more.
And we would like to hold all the events at the AutoZone stores because we did see a decline in the O'Reilly participation, and also AutoZone has a longer history in Cajal Valley. This year, we'd like to host a pizza party competition contest between the stores. It'll be funded by HF&H, and what we do is we tell each store, whichever store has the most amount of people that say they heard about the event through the store will win a pizza party contest. So we'll fund that. And we'd also like your input. What suggestions do you have to advertise the events? I know that the city website were very popular, and also the trash utility bills. Do you have any other ideas on how to advertise for this year?
Another possibility we heard was some people said that they wanted to hear about the events via telephone call, so if there's a way for robocalls or anything like that.
What about the social media, since it's an actual event? If cities have their social media, like their Facebook, that because it's an actual event, they might be more willing to put it on there.
We did try to post it this year on the city of event Facebook pages, but what we saw in the event publicity was that the store and the radio was the most popular way. Facebook is good, but it's still too low. We could actually pay for advertising, and then if you use Facebook and you use keywords like oil or something, it'll pop up on your right hand side as an advertisement. Use oil, recycling event. So we could, we'll have budget for additional advertising, and we could put some money towards Facebook advertising. See if that works.
Did you pay for the 130 TV?
Yes.
Slots? Because I actually think that the social media boosting is probably a better bang for your buck than that would be.
Okay.
It's really cheap. We do it from time to time for some of our events. When you boost, I think it's like 30 to 40 bucks, and it really substantially increases the number of hits you get for social media postings. That's just my 2 cents, because I know TV is very expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like to try Facebook, because I checked out how to use Facebook advertising, and you can target the demographics, you can target what areas you want, so I think that would be good to try for this year.
I have another question on your pizza party.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were going to have all your events at the AutoZone. So how are you going to have? So you're just talking about a pizza party between the AutoZone.
Mm-hmm.
And second, do we know why the O'Reilly's declined? Were they not promoting it as much, or
what do you think?
You've
read
the
one was the one in Palm Springs. The store had only been there for a few years when AutoZone had a much longer history in the location, and also the location of the O'Reilly next to the AutoZone. AutoZone was the first store you drove by, and like the location, people really didn't see us, or even with like a canopy up and everything, it just kind of was just in not the best location.
Okay.
Next steps are to develop the advertising strategy with each city and schedule the usual events. We'll initiate the school drawing contest and obtain the quotes for all the flyers and promotional giveaway items. Then we'll design flyers and work on it. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much for the opportunity of managing the CYU's old program. This is our favorite project out of all the projects we do. The most fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks, April. And I do want to emphasize, I think we're really interested. I was thinking, Frankie and Sarah, since you guys do use Style separately, if there's things that you find that are successful.
She mentioned the two that are most successful to us, and that's Kuna Radio mm-hmm. and sending something out in the utility bill.
Yeah.
But we do that, we get the highest participation from that.
Okay.
I think we've had... definitely on the radio station. TV is sort of, I don't know, you pay a lot of money for it. I don't know that you get your return on your investment. Social media seems, if you do it right, and if the cities all have a face page and you're talking about the events, we don't usually post a lot of things on our Facebook or other accounts, but we have talked about when we have more event-type things mm-hmm. because it's something that they're interested in, that they can actually go and participate in, they're more willing to put those up. And then anyone who goes to the Facebook, especially if you have a lot of followers and stuff, they'll go and see what's going on and stuff. And our newsletter, our monthly newsletter gets mm-hmm. some.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
But I do have a question before we move on. How is that going to work with, because that's a significant reduction.
Yeah. That's good that you asked that, Frankie, because I wanted to touch on that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I know we had discussed this, but has that decision has now been made that it's definite?
Yeah, it's with Barbara Baker, the usual power cycle manager, and she said it was passed on September 21st.
Okay, so it's definite, because it's kind of sounded like it might be an option, sort of depending mm-hmm. on how they're funding looks.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a 3-year spending plan, so they did approve that
plan. So would you anticipate, I'm assuming that's across the board, that cut, mm-hmm. so it would affect individual jurisdictions as well as CVAG's program.
Even if we partnered, that would just add, because you'd still have to add our city. Whoever's partnering and giving their funds are going to have to, they're going to want at least one event. Mm-hmm.
So it's just something to think about. You have two more fiscal years before the cut starts.
The challenge that we have is in part because we have carryover every year from the funding that we get from prior years. And obviously, if the funding cut, we might be able to sustain for a short time period, but not for very long.
We could probably look at joining instead mm-hmm. of doing something separate.
Yeah.
Maybe participating in the regional program.
Yeah,
well, that would be some additional. I don't know how much, but
yeah, I think we just want to make sure everybody is aware of that because it obviously is going to have an effect
mm-hmm.
on the level of service we can provide. Okay.
Anything else? Okay, the next item, the update presentation on AB 1826 food waste has been pulled, and we're going to do that. We're going to reschedule that item. So we're going to move on to the presentation by Hidden Harvest Coachella Valley from Sandra Carroll.
Hi.
Hi.
Hidden Harvest, we've been around here in Coachella Valley for over 15 years. What we do is rescue produce from the local farms and packing houses and give it away. We give it away to approximately 55,000 people every month. That's through our own distribution, and then also we supply produce to Fine Food Bank and many of the agencies that are providing services to people who need them. low-income families and seniors. Hidden Harvest was started in 2001 by Christy Porter. It began as a query from a farm worker who asked her about why there was so much waste, and yet his own family was struggling to get enough food. He works in the fields and wasn't able to take anything home, but he could see that they were plowing down perfectly good food. So she investigated this, and Hidden Harvest was her answer to that dilemma. It turns out that anywhere between 10 and 27% of all produce grown is not either not harvested or harvested and not sold. So that's a huge amount of produce. And it's perfectly good food. If it's in the field or even if it's in the packing house, it's still perfectly good food. So our little system is a win-win because we rescue the produce. Not all of it. We couldn't possibly rescue. There's 66,000 acres here in Coachella Valley that's farmed. We're only four people, so we couldn't do all that. But we have managed to rescue over 15 million pounds over the 15 years we've been doing this. And we've done this with a staff of four people. There's two drivers and two people in the office, myself and Christy. So the distribution that we do is, as I mentioned, we supply produce to Fine Food Bank, and in turn that is distributed to the various agencies throughout the valley. And then we do our own what we call senior markets, where we take the produce to nine locations now, valley-wide, from the far end of Palm Springs all the way to we have a market in Indio and we're in Coachella. And we set up these markets like a farmer's market. And the seniors, we target low-income seniors either in their communities, low-income communities, or at senior centers that are situated in low-income communities or low-income neighborhoods. And they can pick and choose what they like. They get probably about 15 pounds of produce every month. We go twice a month. And it's the same day, same time. We've been doing it for 8 years now, so it's kind of a thing. The seniors are really dependent on that. So that is what we do. Why we do this, as I said before, it's a supply and demand. There is a supply, and then there is a demand. The demand being, even though this is the playground of the presidents, there's poverty here. We serve 55,000 people every single month. These are people who qualify as, by government standards, living at or below poverty level. In Coachella Valley, the average rate of poverty in Coachella Valley is 22%, which is actually going up. It's up. Was 15% in 2011. It's now 22%. So, it's an issue. Senior hunger is a serious issue. Low-income seniors. There was a report in 2013 that showed that 15% of seniors, or 9.6 million individuals, 60 or older, this is across the United States, face the threat of hunger. And also, increasing numbers. These numbers aren't going down, they're going up. Child poverty in Riverside County is over 23%. 80% of those children come from families who have at least one person working full-time. So these are not unemployed families. These are people working but not making ends meet. So, some of the people that we serve, I guess that I would say that here in Coachella Valley, poverty is hiding. Hunger, certainly, is hard. You can't see it. You don't know. It's not like the vision you have of hunger famines in Africa. That's not what we see here. You don't see
can tell that someone's hungry, except it does affect people. It affects their health. It affects school activity, you know, how kids perform in school. It for seniors, it's a detriment to their health and their mental health as well. It's stressful. We've had clients in our senior markets who have, sometimes our volunteers will come and help the seniors take their produce back to their apartments. And one time we had this one lady who, when they got back to her apartment, she had nothing in her refrigerator. And the thing is, this woman, who was, you know, very gracious and, you know, gave the volunteer a glass of water, and she said, you know, I used to run a food bank, and now I'm taking food from, you know, I have to rely on free food. So you don't know who these people are. You know, they could be any of us. Christy talks about seeing a woman who would come to the senior markets in a Mercedes, and she was kind of indignant about that until she realized the woman's living in her car. So, again, you can't tell. And then on the supply side of our formula, there's the food waste, which is obviously what you were most interested in. As I mentioned before, there's 66,000 farm acres in Coachella Valley. That's it's several billion dollars in income in Coachella Valley. It's not really seen as, I mean, you know, the tourist pamphlets don't talk about the agriculture, but it's a big part of our economy. But the reason that the produce is left behind is, well, there's many reasons. The weather conditions last June was kind of freakish, hot, and that affects, you know, things that would have been harvested in June turned to toast, basically. So that was rough. That was actually rough on us because there wasn't stuff to harvest when we normally would have. But typically, weather, if it gets too warm, like in the winter, the lettuce grows too fast, it grows too big, and well, that's a bonus for us. We get lots of lettuce. The marketplace affects what's left behind. If the produce is like a commodity, it is a commodity, and it's the prices are determined by a national marketplace, and when the prices drop, all the produce that's already been packed and is sitting in the packing house becomes worthless. So the packing houses will give it away. I wouldn't say worthless, but it's not worth it to them to ship it to sell it. Sometimes, and not sometimes, but typically they also overplant to cover those weather conditions and things that the unforeseens. And then lots of the produce is not perfect looking, and that's the only thing we'll buy at the grocery store. So the imperfect peppers and carrots, the funny looking carrots and so on, are the things that we're happy to take. They still have full nutrition value. They're fine. So we do win by the fact that that's out there, ugly produce. Over the years, we've developed relationships with the farmers and the packing house managers. That's one of our four employees. That's pretty much his full-time job, is visiting with those people and keeping those contacts so that we continue to have a supply. And so far it's working. It's always a struggle to have, you know, there now is a demand for more fresh produce, but as long as we have farmers who are committed to helping us, then because it's kind of an inconvenience to them to stop a minute, let us pick it up, not just keep doing it with the way they always do it. So it does require partnerships. So we always say the thing we need the most is produce and, of course, money. All our funds are raised by private donations and grants. We write our own grants. We do all of it ourselves. So we write our own grants. We do our own fundraising. So we are in a very tight ship. So, any questions?
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Frankie.
All right, so what are you just letting us know about your organization, or what are you wanting from us?
I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there any way we can help facilitate your process?
The way we ask for help is get the word out, tell your friends, go to our website, go to our Facebook page, send us $10. If you don't have produce, we'll take your money.
Well, we used to participate in the program where the cities would collect it from the residents who'd want to bring it, but there was
the citrus.
Is that still in? It is. It turns out, yes, it's still here. My backyard trees are a testament to that, I think. And then the program turned out to be good for residents, maybe not that great for us. It turned out to be really overly expensive for what we got. So we were driving one end of the valley to the other 3 times a week, and the quality of fruit we were getting was mostly trash. So the psyllid was the beginning of the end. So yeah.
Sandra, does it? So your source of the produce is from the fields, or do you ever? Our restaurants or any of those?
We don't use that kind of restaurant. Yeah. It's a whole different operation.
Right. Right.
We are set up to do fresh produce from the fields and from the packing houses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I know that Fine does recovery from the grocery stores. And some of the smaller agencies also have their own little deals with the grocery stores. But the restaurant recovery is a tricky thing. It requires entirely different resources.
Mm-hmm.
Special trucks, special handling is a big deal, because you got to, once it comes out of the back of a restaurant, it's like restaurant. It's restaurant food, so it's got to be kept at perfect temperatures
right.
and all that. So
right.
I don't believe there's anyone doing that at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's a lot of food there.
Okay. And you mentioned that there's more produce than you guys can actually bring in. Do you ever run into a time where the produce that you have difficulty getting that out to?
It tends to be feast or famine. There are times of the year, the harvesting is just beginning now, and it sort of gets up to full force January, February, and then it tapers back off, and then it starts up again. So they do two plantings, kind of two rollovers. And by the end, we're getting, lots of different things, and a couple of hot days, and we've got acres and acres of, as I said, lettuce being a prime one that it bolts really fast. So, yes, we go from nothing to truckloads of produce, and then we're scrambling to find enough places to distribute it. There are times when it doesn't stay here. It goes to Riverside County, or San Bernardino, because they can use it. We've already given as much away as... the agencies that we distribute to are little church pantries. They don't have refrigeration. They give it away the day we deliver it. So that does happen. We've kind of figured out how to deal with that when it does. It's not a daily thing.
It's a great program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sure.
I thought Luke was going to be rescheduled for another meeting. So we're going to move on to announcements. For one, the next meeting of the Solid Waste and Recycling Technical Working Group will be on January 9th, 2017. Does anyone else have any other announcements?
What is our timeline for what we're looking at changing? The date, the time, what we look at, what is, do we want to have this in place by the next meeting, or is this something we're looking at to meet? It always helps to put some kind of timeline on it so it doesn't fall through the cracks. Or
I think I could put the poll out before the next meeting, but we should keep this next meeting in place. And then if we get if the poll comes back with a stronger, better date, then we can adjust and let everybody know at that time.
Okay, so...
So I think we'll keep this meeting date set.
And so on the second item, though, about the topics that we cover, are you guys going to look at that and what is our timeline on that?
I guess it seems like everybody's pretty comfortable with the situation we have now for this group, in which case we can explore it. I think we'd have to look at whether there's, I mean, when we had an energy and water subcommittee that kind of ended up being sort of evolved into sustainability, if you will, and that subcommittee was in place for a number of years, and then it was disbanded by the CVAG Executive Committee.
Okay, so maybe at the next meeting, you guys can just give us an update.
Yeah, I think we'll...
Let us know whether that's going to be something to look at or not.
Yeah, I think we'll... Maybe we can quiz folks a little bit through the... And we'll be meeting with the Energy Partnership, which is some staff overlap, but actually not as much, in a couple of weeks, and so we can get an idea from them as well, if there's a benefit to having a more collaborative.
Going back to, I mean, I don't know how anyone else feels, but I mean, if we feel that maybe the committee is, past its useful life, however you want to put it, I don't know, is that something that we want to consider? I mean, I don't know how everyone else feels, but is that something that CVAG, does this committee have to exist?
No. No, I mean, I think that's really our question. We want to make sure that it's beneficial to all of you, and as it is, we have several programs, tires and oil, and, we've had other initiatives we've talked about in the past, composting and green waste and so on. But that's really our question is when the attendance here today is pretty good, but when we're losing folks, we're like, well, we don't want to just keep offering meetings if there's no benefit. As it is, we have a quarterly calendar and we can just keep that calendar, and if there's nothing to meet about, we don't meet. It is helpful to us, I think, to get feedback and input on the programs from all of you, because you have direct experience on what works and so forth. But does it have to exist? No.
Well, maybe send out an email to how we think maybe we could all go back and think on it, and mm-hmm. then send out an email and we can provide you feedback on how each jurisdiction take is on it, mm-hmm. whether we need to be in existence. If we do, what kind of things can we look at?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of, if we didn't exist, how would the current programs be handled?
Right.
Maybe we can provide input that give us time to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick query then, too. Are all of your jobs' main focus is solid waste, or
yeah,
are you combined with multiple jobs, right? What are some of those other jobs that you're combining that maybe we could look at incorporating into this meeting to just make it a little bit more beneficial? I'm not talking about planning and solid waste or anything like that, but,
I mean, my department doesn't handle sustainability, but it is something that we can do, but I think some of the sustainability items might be good, but
and
again, how many of those go to E&E or,
Yeah. I mean, Sarah said, they've been, over the years, slowly meshing with each other. They're all going to be cohesive pretty soon here. Mm-hmm. They all relate, so I don't know.
Just a thought.
I guess I think you pose a good question with regards to whether or not we still serve a purpose, because really, I mean, to be real honest, we're reviewing the same programs year after year, which are good programs, and I don't think they need to go away or anything, but I don't know if we really
right.
are enough information
doing it enough to maybe have our even quarterly meeting. So that might be, that's kind of food for thought for myself, because we have the used oil program, the tire program, and those are really the two programs I think that we reevaluate. So I think we can still do that at a staff level, but I don't know if we actually need a task force for that purpose, unless some new law requires us to.
Or maybe we can change this to an annual meeting.
Because I almost view it kind of like the sweeping program. I'm involved in that one.
Right.
But I think that we all kind of have a lot of different, none of our hats are the same variety of hats. So I think that's the challenge of trying to mesh it with something else. I know for the sweeping one, we basically just made, well, we renew contract.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's something that we evaluate as we look at the contract, of who's gonna manage, in this case, HF, and HF been our consultant for one of the programs. And so maybe we evaluate it at a time that we're looking at contractual commitment. That's
okay. No, I think that's exactly the sort of feedback I appreciate, you know, that we're interested in, is, again, we realize you guys all have more than one thing on your plate, maybe more than two things on your plate, maybe more than that. And we want this to be useful and beneficial to you and, you know, to the regional effort. So it's good feedback.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, then we're adjourned. Adjourn the meeting.